ITS Coffee Break for October 26th, 2009.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we have lots of news regarding the WordPress MU pilot conclusion and production launch. In tech news, we'll talk a little bit about Bates College new homepage powered by WordPress, Google Wave, now in beta, and we'll discuss the Barnes & Noble Nook versus the Amazon Kindle.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Nyquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And it has been many, 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 many months since our last podcast.
Yes, but we appreciate all of you who keep asking us about them, so.
Yes, we thought we should return because we have a brand new platform for the Coffee Break. And in fact, we're going to have to rebuild our audience after the Coffee Break, but or rather after this Coffee Break, because we are now publishing and broadcasting live on WordPress.
That's right. It's been a fun sort of 6 months or so, I guess, as we were piloting WordPress multi-user, and we're now in production and in full production.
Yeah, which is why we can actually do the podcast now, right? Because we have time to finally work on something else other than WordPress. So we ended up, well, first of all, I guess we're running on WordPress MU.
Right.
We have a bunch of plugins, and actually if you go to sites.lafayette.edu, you can see all the plugins that we're actually using. But we have two instances of WordPress. One is available at sites.lafayette.edu, and that's for personal web pages, student organizations, that sort of thing.
Classes. We have classes, several classes.
A number of different classes.
I just, of course, I want to plug the academic implications of this. So
right, of course.
We have several classes who are using WordPress MU.
Well, and we had several classes that were involved in the pilot as
right.
well. And then organizations and stuff. So basically more, well, I don't want to say informal, but it's some informal sites, some formal sites, but basically stuff associated with Lafayette, but not departmental sites, office sites, that kind of thing. Those reside on deps.lafayette.edu, and each one of those is hosted with a subdomain. So after many, many years of people requesting it, you can finally have geology.lafayette.edu. Yes, we're talking about you, John Wilson.
Absolutely. So it's an exciting time because people are now sort of going back and reviewing their content and moving things over to their new WordPress installations. We actually worked with the communications division has been working very closely with us in this endeavor as we've moved out of pilot and into production. And so part of what they were working on with us was developing a standard theme for departments. So now departments can have a look that is the same across departments, but be able to manage their own content and make quick updates and things like that.
I think the other thing that goes with that is just, I guess we need to step back for a second and say, well, what the heck is WordPress? WordPress basically allows you to edit web pages through your web browser. It's a lightweight content management system, and it, sorry. Audacity is giving me error messages. But in any case, WordPress is a lightweight content management system. It can be used for blogging, but it can also be used for maintaining small websites. It's not necessarily something you'd want to put thousands upon thousands of web pages in, but I think it's really good for what we're using it for, which is, you know, small websites. We have a lot of departmental websites where they've got 20, 30, 50 pages, and they're just kind of a pain in the butt to maintain in Dreamweaver. So now you don't have to use Dreamweaver anymore.
Right, and of course, as with most of the things that we've, most of the new initiatives that we've made, WordPress MU allows people to use their Lafayette network ID and password, so, and also to share ownership or rights, I guess you would say, for maintaining these sites. So multiple people can be added to the same account, and they can log in with their own personal credentials and be able to have shared ownership, which
yeah.
is exciting.
And there's different levels of ownership, too. So you can have somebody who's a contributor to the site who's able to submit posts, but then those posts need to be approved by an editor on the site. So I think that kind of basic workflow options will really help a lot of people, too.
So there's lots of help documentation that we've made available on the ITS site. And also, if you go to sites.lafayette.edu or depths.lafayette.edu, you can gather some more information. You can take a look at sites that people have created. On both of those installations, there's a link for participants and departments who have moved. And lots of help documentation. Lots of information in there.
Well, and we want to hear from you, too. If we're missing something, if you think there's something that needs to be covered, please let us know. You can email us at itsblog.lafayette.edu, or, you can stop by WordPress and post a comment. And the other cool thing is, right now, you don't actually have to authenticate in order to leave a comment in our show notes. You can just stop on by and post a comment.
That's right. So, Brian Alexander, we're looking for you.
That's right. Now, I do want to say that we do have a question out there for folks who are maybe more the hardcore web geeks who want to be able to have shell accounts. And if you don't know what a shell account is, then this isn't for you. If you know what a shell account is, however, and you still see a need for one going forward, we'd like to hear from you. If you could email us again at itsblog@lafayette.edu, post a comment. You can email me, too, if you want to. We just want to know kind of what people want so that we can kind of get a feel for that side of things. So, speaking of WordPress, we've got some news on the higher ed front. Bates College has launched a brand new homepage, which I think they're calling Home 4, powered by WordPress, which is pretty nifty.
Yeah, it's just pretty exciting to see sort of the trajectory of colleges and institutions that are embracing sort of this Web 2.0 ideal and going ahead and implementing something where there can be that joint ownership and where you can, I mean, it's just proof that you can totally customize WordPress in interesting ways and make it really a part of what you're doing.
So personally, I'm really interested in how well this scales. You know, we typically think of WordPress as something that you maybe use for a blogging platform, you use it for smaller sites. But there are a lot of sites that are powered by WordPress. A lot of the Wired.com blogs are powered by WordPress. So, I mean, it's certainly capable of handling like industrial strength enterprise level sites. But I'd also be interested in knowing what the back end looks like. You know, what kind of little tweaks did they put in place there? I'm guessing things like, you know, site-side compression and Supercache and all that kind of good stuff. But I don't know. I'd love to go up there at some point and geek out and find out, you know, the nitty-gritty details of how they rolled it out. I'm also kind of just interested how it works at the top level, you know, how many different people they have editing it. You know, do they have different departments logging in to edit pages, that kind of stuff. So, but that's the geeky side.
The side we're most interested in.
So the next thing we got is Google Wave.
Yeah, Google Wave's in beta. And for those of you who haven't been following this online, Google Wave is basically a social media aggregation point. So basically, Google wanted to see what they would create if they were inventing email at this point.
Right.
Or workflow, I think, is a better sort of way to capture this. So basically, it pulls together concepts from email, chat, photos, video, real time, as well as so synchronous as well as asynchronous type of communication.
Right.
So it pulls it all together.
Right. And the cool thing is like, so we actually saw like a really cool video, which we'll link to from the show notes. And actually, I'll just go ahead and embed that video right onto the website as well.
Since we're using WordPress.
Because we're using WordPress and we can do that kind of thing. But in their quick explanation, the way that they were talking about it was, you know, you could have like this conversation where, say, Courtney and I are planning a project documentation for WordPress. And we're bouncing back and forth. And then we pull in a third person and we're talking about, okay, well, we should do this and we should do this. And then, you know, our boss wants to see what the heck we've been talking about for the last 2 days. So we throw John O'Keefe onto that conversation as well. The really cool thing about Google Wave is he can then go in and play back the whole conversation. So he can go right to the beginning of the timeline, hit play, and then see how the conversation unfolded, which you can't. I mean, if you've ever gotten caught in the middle of an email discussion,
it's so confusing.
Yeah, especially one that's been bouncing between like seven different people. And this video actually goes real and explains it really well, because I think we've been there, right? Where they're talking about things like, okay, so we start off with this proposal, and then somebody throws in a PDF, and then somebody else throws in a couple of web links, and the next thing you know, no one has any idea what's being talked about, because, you know, half the people dropped the conversation, someone forgot to do a CC on it, you know. So Google Wave is hoping to basically negate all this and give a place where you can just come in and aggregate it all into one place, which seems really cool. We say seems because we haven't actually used it yet.
We don't know because we love you, Google, and we talk about you all the time. But we have to have an invitation to use your new products, and we don't have an invitation yet.
Right. So
if anybody from, you know, Google or anyone who has extra invitations in their account, Ken and I would love to take a look.
Yeah, so just drop a note in the comments or, you know, send us an email at
itsblog@lafayette.edu.
Now, in theory, I think I'm supposed to have an invite on the way, but I have no idea how
long
it takes
probably,
for these to propagate. So
I'm CourtneyBentley@gmail.com. Just, you know, just saying. If anybody, you know, CourtneyBentley@gmail.com.
Perfect. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how it shakes out. I think this is one of those technologies that you go, okay, well, how am I supposed to use this?
Right. Well, and I think that's, I mean, obviously, with Google, that is generally their whole point, is let's unleash this, see what people come up with. So, you know, and there have also been rumors, I haven't really tracked many of them down, but there are rumors that Google and Blackboard are having some conversations. So, you know, I mean, this Google Wave thing could be sort of a precursor to something more in education.
Well, and it is, I mean, you could see using it in a classroom, right?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
This is exactly the kind of thing we've been talking about, where there's sometimes where you want to be able to have a real-time conversation, and there's sometimes where you want to be able to have that delayed conversation because you have this great idea at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So you could throw it out there on the wave and then people catch it when they wake up. I don't know. I think it could be interesting. And the whole idea of pulling in rich media, right? So you can go out and you can grab a video and throw it into a wave. I think this could fit our workflow. I mean, we've been using Google Docs a lot. Just when we get into a meeting, you know, to be able to have people edit it simultaneously. This looks like a logical next step or a quasi-logical next step. We'll have to see how much sense it actually makes once we have a chance to use it.
Right. So, you know, let us know if you have been using Wave and how you see it sort of expanding into the education horizon.
Yeah, we want to know what you have to say.
Yeah. So another thing that I have actually been discussing recently with the librarians here in the building is sort of this discussion about the Kindle, Amazon's Kindle, versus the Barnes & Noble Nook product that came out this week. So basically, we're just thinking about e-readers and how that's going to play into education, what sort of demand that might have. You know, the interesting thing about the Nook is that it does have this capability, it seems, to be able to loan media. So to be able to loan a book, you know, you're really speaking to the heart of the librarians when you include that term. So trying to see how that actually plays out in the product is going to be interesting. You know, there are definitely some differences regarding, like, you know, Word documents and things that the Nook will not do. But I think that, you know, they're really building on what they're learning about the Kindle and how people use it. So I think that we may be close, particularly if Apple releases their tablet product that's been sort of rumored out there a lot. I think we could have some interesting pilot scenarios going on.
Well, and there's an interesting, so I'll have to go back through my Twitter feed and find this particular link. I posted, I think, yesterday. But it was talking about the iTablet, and one of the things that people speculate Apple is doing right now is lining up different print media alliances. So they've been allegedly talking to the New York Times and a couple of other different places. And the thing that the story that I had come across, and I think this is conceivably a killer app for one of these books, for one of these tablets, is comic books. You've got a lot of geeks out there who love their comic books, but comic books have gotten really expensive. I mean, when I started collecting, they were about 75 cents a piece. They're up to $3 a piece right now. And there's people who love comic books, but it's really kind of hard to keep up with the hobby. Now, there's allegedly this, well, not allegedly, it actually exists. There's a company called Longbox, which is a reference to the boxes that we geeks store our comic books in, right?
Yes,
And the idea was that they would make software available for you to basically do the iTunes music store type thing where you can, you know, get a comic book and read it on your computer. Well, if you get it onto a tablet, that's just like the perfect form, especially if it's a nice size tablet, right? Which neither the Nook nor the Kindle, I think, are big enough to really do justice to a larger size document like that, an 8x11 PDF or a comic book. But I thought that was interesting. I mean, it would not be unlike Apple to just come out with this new product and then have all these alliances already figured out.
Right.
So I think we're living in very interesting times for this kind of digital media books and such. I mean, for me, honestly, I will never I love paperbacks. I'm not going to give up my real book, but there are certain things that I would it would be really handy to be able to have them in this digital format.
Yeah, so you know, we'll keep you abreast, and if anyone has purchased a Nook recently or has a Kindle or wants to weigh in, let us know in the blog. But also, maybe we'll bring you in and let you talk about your experience.
Yeah, so. We'd love to hear about it. I mean, I know for one, if I can find a way, I think they're supposed to be having them on display in Barnes & Noble, so you can walk in and actually see the Nook.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Wi-Fi thing is very interesting. They're, you know, Barnes & Noble is doing a lot to try and tap into their face-to-face type of market. So,
right.
It has some interesting things going on, but, you know, Apple could come out with the killer app. We'll see.
So, yeah, so the cool new version of the Mac OS X is out, right? OS X.
Leopard.
Snow Leopard. It's cool. It's awesome. It's great, except for the fact that
it
doesn't work really all that well just yet. I mean, I don't know. I've heard a lot of people having problems with it. Other people say it's working just fine, but I will tell you that if you go and get Snow Leopard and you install it on your Mac and then you come to Lafayette, you're going to have some problems.
Right.
So the basic problem here is that Cisco's Clean Access Agent, which is the software that allows you to actually authenticate to the network, doesn't work with Snow Leopard. Cisco is aware of the problem. Obviously, we're aware of the problem. Cisco is working on a fix for the problem, but that fix won't be available until sometime in November. And then, of course, we need to test it. So we're not exactly sure when this fix will be rolled out on campus. Now, if you do have Snow Leopard, you can call the help desk and they can get you onto the network, kind of like the long and drawn out way of doing it.
However, keep in mind that even though they can get you on the network, which means you'll be able to use the internet, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to access everything on the Lafayette network, because we have been having issues with file services connecting over with Snow Leopard.
So yeah, I mean, I'm just as excited to, you know, upgrade to Snow Leopard and get some of the, like, the speed ups. It's supposed to be much faster than Leopard. It's, you know, it's supposed to free up a couple gig on your hard drive because they get rid of a bunch of extraneous files. I'm in favor of all that, but I'd also like my computer to work on the network without any problems. So if you have a choice, it would be better to hold off on Snow Leopard until you see an announcement. Either it'll probably be sent via email, campus email, or on the ITS site saying that, hey, yes, we are now supporting Snow Leopard. But for now, now I guess the other question, I don't know the answer to this, though, is Windows 7.
Yeah, Windows 7, we have at least one installation on campus that we're testing, but I think the same thing holds true, that there's still some things that need to be resolved. So maybe if you get it for Christmas and you come back in January, things will be fine for you, but I would kind of wait if at all possible.
I think that's probably the best idea. And if you are running into problems, just give the help desk a holler. They're aware of what's going on, and they can walk you through what needs to be done.
Right. So in other help news, I have sort of an exciting opportunity, or what I think is sort of exciting. We're actually we subscribe to a webinar that is applying fair use to music, movies, and online media, clearing up the confusion. So actually, Kevin Smith, who some of you may have heard of, he's basically the scholarly communications expert.
Kevin Smith.
No, not at all. He's at Duke University.
Okay.
And he's doing this webinar on applying fair use to online media. And this is a question that always comes up. It came up in full force at the beginning of the semester. Faculty members want to include digitized content from, you know, movies. They want to take a 5-minute excerpt and have their students watch it, or they want to distribute music that they're talking about in class. So this is becoming more and more of an issue as we're moving more to visual and auditory, essentially what I would consider text. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a textbook, we're looking at images, we're listening to sound, we're doing different things, which is innovative, but then the law kind of catches up with us, and
right.
You know, we're trying to figure out how to negotiate that. So I'm hoping that in this 1-hour webinar, it will clear up some confusion. So faculty, if you're on campus on Monday, November 2nd, between 1 and 2, we would love for you to join us. We'll be meeting up in Kirby downstairs in the video conferencing room to be able to watch this. So hope you'll be able to join us.
I think it does sound cool, because there is a lot of stuff. You know, we do get a lot of you know, questions about this, or not even so much questions. People come to us and say, hey, I want to do this. And we say, well, you know, the problem is that you may not necessarily actually be able to do that, which is kind of a bummer when you think about how, you know, the big thing with social media right now is being able to mash up all these different things. And then you're like, you get to traditional media and you can't necessarily do it. You don't have the same flexibility. So anyway, cool. The other thing is workshops, yes?
Yes, yes. If you go to the ITS calendar, you can tell how busy we are right now. We have lots and lots of WordPress workshops that are scheduled through the fall semester. And then we'll also be posting more for the January 2010 interim session and then on into the spring. So if you're looking for help on WordPress, I assure you help will be there. These workshops are, we have finally sort of split it up, so we are offering basically three workshops. You're welcome to attend any of them, but some of them are geared more toward one audience than another. So for instance, one on personal and organization type of websites that will live on sites, a session geared more toward administrative and academic departments, and then another one that's actually, we're offering three evening sessions right now for student organizations. So the hope is that we'll provide assistance and time to actually get everything done, and this won't be too much of a headache for people to migrate.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing we've found with WordPress so far is that it doesn't really take long for people to move stuff over. There's no automated process. You can't, like, push a button and have your account that was on Dub2 get translated over to WordPress. But for the most part, it's pretty easy. I mean, especially if you've got a smaller site with a couple of pages, it's fairly easy to recreate that in WordPress in a timely manner. You don't have to get into all the complexities of WordPress where you go to an all-day workshop and you still kind of only half remember what you were supposed to do. WordPress is a lot simpler than that. So we are always looking for feedback and comments on the show. You can stop by sites.lafayette.edu/coffeebreak and leave us a comment there. And you don't need your network ID to do it. You can just come and leave a comment. And you can also send us an email at itsblog@lafayette.edu.